Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast with me, Monty Walden. My guest today is Valentino Valentini from the Pocali Winery in the town of Montefalco in Umbria. Yeah. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi. Now listen, you have, let's forget about wine for a second, Valentino. You have an incredibly interesting story. You're obviously a high achiever at school. What was your first public office and how old were you?
Public office?
Yeah.
When I was in the chief of the classroom.
Okay, that was in school.
At the secondary school.
Right, so you were the head of the school. Then when you left school, what happened to you? What did you do? You stood for election and you were voted?
I started it when I was 23, during the university time. I was a councillor of the town of Montefalco.
So you were town councillor whilst you were studying at university. Counselor.
And then when I was 27, in 1999, I was elected the mayor.
You were elected the mayor?
Yeah, for two times. The first time in 1999, and I finished in 2009.
And now?
And now I work with my winery, with my family. It's a familiar farm.
Okay, so the Valentini winery. So where does Valentini come from? Is that your dad, your granddad?
Granddad.
Okay, what was he called?
He's Giuseppe Valentini.
So when did he found the winery?
In 1927. He went from Gualdo Cattaneo, is a town near Montefalco, is in the Sagrantino area, and they buy in Montefalco and they start the Bocale winery.
So he had what, vineyards, animals, cows?
Yeah, no, cows not, but we have some animals. We have a lot of cereals, only trees for olive oil, and 5.5 hectares of vineyard.
So it's like a mixed farm still?
Yeah.
Are you happy that you still have a mixed farm like your grandfather had, or would you rather just have a monoculture of just vines?
Yeah. We changed all the vineyard because of the vineyard of my grandfather. Father was with the cereal, the grape was with Montepulciano, the Abruzzo, with Sangiovese, with some Piedmont grape, Barbera, and we changed in the end of 1990 all the vineyard, and we restart in 2002 with the new name is Bocale, but it's a new name of the winery, but it's the old name of my family because Bocale is the nickname of my family.
What does it mean?
Is the jug, is in the local dialect, is the jug, the mug of 2 liter, and people went to buy olive oil and wine in the winery of my grandfather, and they perhaps start to say we will go to buy 1, 2, 3 Bocale to Valentini farm, and then they said we will go to Bocale to buy wine or olive oil. So in 2002 became our name.
So Bocale is a container for liquid oil or
it's
wine.
The unit of 2 liter in the local dialect, exactly.
2 liters, quite a lot of wine in those days. In the old times people
we don't use now.
No
we use 1 liter and 0.75 bottles, of course.
Okay, so how complicated is it? Obviously, you're very good at organizing stuff if you've been a mayor. How complicated is it working with the different crops you have on the Bocali farm?
When I was mayor in these 10 years, I restored all the vineyard, all the winery. So it was not the period of the market of the winery because we start to sell the vintage 2005 because the first vintage with the first harvest with a new vineyard and the new building of the winery starts in 2005. So the market and the selling of the wine starts in when I finished the mayor time.
Was that when you started bottling your wine for the first time rather than selling it in a jug?
It was in 2007, 2008, and I finished it in 2009. In this period, I was also the president of Italian Wine Cities, and with Montalcino, with Barolo, with Marsala, 500 towns in all Italy. So, and we start with a new market, not with Italian market, and now we have the 70% of our market is an export market.
Right, so you've been very international in your outlook.
Yeah, from United States, North America, North Europe, a little bit also in UK and in Asia.
How easy is it to sell Sagrantino? That, I guess, is your main wine, yeah?
It's about my main wine, but we produce about 6,000-7,000 bottles every year.
It's quite small.
All bottles are numbered. It's very important for us. So it's not so difficult to sell 6,000-7,000 bottles. We produce at all 25,000-30,000 bottles, 6,000 bottles of Montefalco Rosso Sagrantino. It's 18-19 of Montefalco Rosso. It's a Sangiovese blend. And then from 2 years we are starting to produce also Trebbiano Spoletino like my grandfather. We produce about 5,800 bottle every year.
So the Trebbiano Spoletino, what is that?
It's an indigenous grape. It's very different kind of Trebbiano clones. It's different than Tuscany and Abruzzo clone. It's a very strange system of grow up because in the past we used my grandfather used a system that is called marriage system, because they use one elm on other kind of plants, and the Sterbiano vines grow up on the other trees.
On the trees.
Yeah.
So promiscuous culture.
Now we use the Guyot or Cordon spools, but in the past we used this kind of system. It was a very, very strange system.
Did you like seeing that when you were small, seeing vines grow up the trees?
Yeah, but there is it's difficult to produce because there is a lot of production for plants. So our production is a high level production quality, and so we use now Guyot or other kind of system that we have less production for plants.
Okay, so let's start with the Trebbiano Spolitino. When you make the Trebbiano Spolitino, you make it as a dry white wine?
We have a rent now with a vineyard in Spoleto to try, because my winery haven't historically only red grapes. And so we start with Trebbiano from 2-3 years, and we will plant next spring 1 hectare in Montefalco in our winery.
So what does it taste like, Trebbiano Spolitino?
Ah, it's a fantastic taste with flowers. I think it's one of the greatest white wine in the central Italy.
Is it full-bodied?
Yeah, it's full-bodied. It's a strange white wine because we have maceration with the skin, like red grapes. The other kinds of white grape, they hasn't the maceration with the skin. So we have very structured, very flower. I think it's a good way for the white wine in this area.
But are you making your Trebbiano Spolitino in like amphora? Are you doing skin contact in amphora? Are you looking to make like an orange wine, a deeply colored yellow wine?
No, we have not very long maceration, so they became an orange color. But we have 48 to the 2-3 days of maceration. Mm-hmm. So it's a very, very yellow and... It's not orange like the long period of maceration.
But are you doing that in normal tanks or in amphora?
In normal tanks. No, we use normal tanks. We use we changed in last year the woods of the aging, but for the red wines, we changed from 2009 all the woods in the winery, because we start with the barrique, 100% of barrique, and now we use 100% of big barrel for Sagrantino, for Montefalco Sagrantino and Montefalco Rosso.
When you say big, what, 500 liters?
Well, we use 1,000 liters usually. No. And we increase the timing, because before we use barrique for 12 months, we use now 1,000 liter barrel for 2 years. Yeah, we change all the woods in the wine because we don't like a lot of smell of wine, the over wood in the wine. So we like the original characteristic of the wine.
So using oak but making the wines less oaky, is that a general trend in the region as a whole, or is it just you?
There is a lot of wine that they are changing this. We have changes to two things. The timing of maceration. Before we had a very short maceration for Sagrantino, because because we don't like a lot of extraction for tannins. Il Sagrantino is a wine of is a lot of tannins, but we understand that the longer maceration there is less tannins, so we change it two things: a very long maceration, about 40-45 days, and the big wood. So we have more drinkable Sagrantino when we start to sell the new vintage.
Is the idea with the long maceration to polymerize the tannins to make them taste smoother?
Yeah. Yeah.
So how does that work?
Because there is two time in the maceration. One time that there is the tannins go out of the skin, and then there is the second time that the skin keep the tannins. So we have more drinkable, more
rounder
Sagrantino, like in the past. In the past was very difficult to test the new vintage. Today we are testing the new vintage 2014. 10 years ago was very, very difficult to test one Sagrantino in the vintage that is going in the market.
So what are the trends in the region as the whole? Obviously, you're very well connected. You know everybody. And what are the trends, do you think, that are for Sagrantino?
For Sagrantino?
Yeah, just maybe grape growing, winemaking.
We had a very difficult period because we had in Italy a very difficult economic crisis. But many winery in Montefalco has a export market. Like my winery has most of the half of production in the export market. This kind of winery, they hasn't problem because they sell in United States, in North Europe, in Asia. The winery that sell only in Italy, they had very big problem because the market in Italy is very, very slow, and it is starting now in the last year, in the 17. And I think there is a good period for Sagrantino because we had a very important investment from all Italian winery, big Italian, from Tuscany, from Friuli, from a very important winery from Umbria.
So you're saying wineries from outside the region coming and buying wine, yeah, investing
in Montefalco. They buy the building in the historical towns in Montefalco, in Bevagna. They made a very important winery, not simple winery. Some of these winery made very art, this contemporary art of, they not use Sagrantino for a slow, short time, but they make a very important investment.
Is there a risk, you know, say winemakers from Tuscany, or you said Friuli, or even say from the south of Italy, will try and change the style of Sagrantino, will impose a, say like a Tuscan style or a southern Italian style on it? Is there a risk of that?
No, I think no. I think Sagrantino now is one of the 10 most important wines in Italy.
So we have Prosecco, Brunello,
Barolo, Amarone, Montepulciano, Primitivo, and there is sure, this is one of the 10 best Italian red wines. I think its contamination with other kind of winery from other kind of part of Italy is important for us, for our experience. In this period, we have a lot of investments from other country, for other region of Italy, but we have a very important increasing of the small wineries in Montefalco. When I start, I was measuring the first time we had in Montefalco 8-9 wineries.
So that was 15 years ago?
Yeah, 15 years ago. And now we have about 70-75 wineries. So it's, and the medium level is a very high quality. So I think we had in the past a very important work of the municipality, of the Italian government, the regional government, and some important wineries that made the history of the Sagrantino of the last 20 years.
If there's one thing that you could add or change now, what would it be? What is missing? Is there any ingredient
that's missing? The missing is increasing our exportation, I think.
Exports.
Yeah, there is some wineries that have some difficult because they don't sell in the export market.
Why is that?
Because they are historical wineries that historically have the Italian market. Usually the winery with the youngest owner, they have the problem, they will travel a lot, so they can have a connection with the other market. The oldest winery is more difficult to sell in the export market, and they start to try to sell in the Asia market, in the North American. So we must invest to promote Montefalco and Montefalco Sagrantino in the export market.
How important are local sales, you know, tourists coming in? Obviously, Umbria is called the Green Heart of Italy.
It's the very other way, because yeah, we have the Serrata Sagrantino from 2000. I was one of the promoters in 2000 when I was mayor. And it's the other way to sell. Most wineries that have an export market, they have the 20% of the selling in winery directly. So it's very, very important for us to organize all the system of Montefalco, Bevagna, Gualdo Cattaneo, Giano dell'Umbria, and Castelritaldi to have increasing the tourists and the visiting in the winery.
So when tourists come to the region, what is there for them to see apart from vineyards and olive groves?
Yeah, they have vineyards, olive trees, olive oil factory, and then we have one of the most important museum in Umbria and in Italy is San Francis Museum.
Is that St. Francis of Assisi?
Church museum is in the old town of Montefalco, and it's very important because it's the start of the Renaissance in Umbria.
The
first frescoes in Umbria with the perspective is in Montefalco, painted by Benozzo Gozzoli, is a Florentine painter in 1452, and we have about 30-35,000 people that buy a ticket to see this very important picture. And then we have Perugino, we have Pinturicchio, we have a lot of history of art. Montefalco and Bevagna are very, very small town, but very rich of art from the Roman period to the Renaissance period.
Why did the artist come here? Was it the
We come here because there is very important monks, the Franciscan monks and Augustinian monks. They had a very powerful and they are very rich, so they have the money to call important like Perugino, like Benozzo Gozzoli from Florence, from Perugia.
So they could pay for artists to come and paint frescoes.
And there was the first wine production in Montefalco, because we have the historical documents in the town hall historical library with a lot of documents that the monks was the first winery in Montefalco. You can visit the winery in the museum, and there is the system before the screw, the invention of the screw with the system, the press system to make wine. So the town hall of Montefalco in 1520 makes the rule of the start of the harvest.
So they decide when people can pick their grapes.
So we have a very, very lot of rich documents of historical from the medieval time to Renaissance, that Montefalco has a very long story of wine production. evolution from Roman period to the medieval to the Renaissance. Then we have a very strange stop in the last century, because Montefalco was called the most important town of wine production still in 1925. Mm-hmm. When there is the most important exhibition in Montefalco of all Umbria area. And there is strange that we find in this catalog that still in this period we produce two kinds of Sagrantino. Dolce, cioè abboccato, so it's sweet, and dry. And we think that Sagrantino's dry starts in the end of 1779, starts of 80. But it's not really, because we produced since the start of 19th century Sagrantino in two kind of. Then we have the First World War and the Second War. We have a stop of the production. The area of Montefalco was very pure, like all the center of Italy, the countries in the Second Italy. Many family went to Switzerland, to Germany, to France, in the big town in the north of Italy, and we restart to production of Sagrantino in the high level in the 1980. And Sagrantino became one of the most important wines, I think, in the end of 19 and the starts of 2000.
Yeah, interesting to hear that such a beautiful area, you know, the green heart of Italy, that there was this big rural depopulation.
Yeah.
And now people are coming back.
Now people are coming back, and we haven't a big way, big industry. This is the reason of our poor past, but now is our resources. It's our resource, and we can increase tourists and the development of our area with the arts, with the landscape and the agricultural products.
Do you feel very proud that your family stayed?
Yeah, of course, of course. My family lived in Montefalco for 20 years, mm-hmm. and I was born in Switzerland. So for me, for my father, was very, very important to restart the winery of my grandfather.
In Switzerland, were you in Ticino, the Italian part?
No, I was in Switzerland, in Switzerland, and I can speak some Switzerdeutsch.
Oh, right, so you're in the German part of Switzerland.
In Schaffhausen. I was born in Schaffhausen, yeah.
Okay.
And so when we come back, I start to make public work with them, with the municipality. I convinced my father to restart the winery of my grandfather. So we replanted all the vineyard, we rebuilt the winery, and we start with a new name, with the nickname of my grandfather, Boccale.
How easy was it to convince your father to invest in wine?
It's not so easy, because my father leave Montefalco when was 14.
Which year was that? When was he born?
44.
So he left in the mid-50s?
Yeah, in the mid-50s. So it's not so easy to understand that we must make in so big investments. But now he's very happy. For me, for his father, for my brother.
You work with your brother as well?
My brother worked with me in the winery.
So what are your responsibilities? What's he called your brother, sorry?
I'm the export manager and the owner of the winery. And my brother is the chief of the field, of the winery.
So he's in
likes,
the vineyard?
He likes the tractor, the hard work of the field. He don't like so travel. Last time we went together in a trip, after 2 days he will come back to home.
Okay, what about the future? We talked a lot about the past. What about the future for your winery in particular and the zone as a whole?
For my winery, we have a project to increase the vineyard, because my dream is rebuy a part of the winery of the farm of my grandfather and the brothers of my grandfather. My grandfather had 5 brothers and 12 nephews. So we have all the hill of Alzatura where we stay that was sold by the cousin of my father. So we start to rebuy some from some cousin, and my dream is have not the biggest winery, because my grandfather has a big farm, 50 hectares. Now we have 10 hectares, but we will increase 2-3 hectares of vineyards and olive trees and make a good wine and good olive oil. And then my object is increase the market in North America, in North Europe. Now we sell in 12 states in United States, mm-hmm. so we have a lot of states in United States that we must start to sell. Our object, of course, is the south of Asia, because now we sell in Japan, in South Korea, sometime in China, but it's not easy market, and we will start in all the south of Asia, like Singapore, Hong Kong, Malaysia.
Why do Asian markets like the Sacrentino wines and the Trebbiano Spoletino, the white wines?
They like Montefalco Rosso, is best in the Asia. In North America, they like very well Sacrentino and Trebbiano Spoletino because they are strong wines. They like very with meat. We sell a lot of Sacrentino in California, in the Midwest. In the Midwest, they made a very good barbecue and they like the combination with Sacrentino grape, with the Sacrentino wines and barbecue meat. So I think it's a very, very important market in the past, in the present, but I think in the future will be the most important market for my winery and for Montefalco wines.
Interesting. The wine from the middle of Italy is getting drunk in the middle of
next
nowhere
week
in America.
I will go in the Midwest in San Luis in Kansas City.
So in terms of your wine growing, are you organic, biodynamic, conventional or natural?
We produce natural wines.
So what does that mean?
We don't use chemical products in the field. We don't use herbicide. We use only indigenous yeasts for fermentation. Our wines is not microfiltration and there is not thermal stabilization. We use in the field only organic fertilizer, so green manure or organic fertilizer.
So green manure cover crops.
Our object is a product, natural wine, with any chemical products inside. All the energy that we use in the winery come from solar energy, so we are a very sustainable winery.
So you're fully solar powered?
Yeah.
Did people object? Did you put the panels on the roof?
No, it's in the field, but we are in the 8 years that we don't buy energy. Well, we produce energy from the solar energy.
So you can sell some back to the, we call it the grid. Any energy that you don't use, can you sell back to
the energy that we don't use, we sell back to the national energy system.
Very good. Yeah. Okay, so your energy self-sufficient.
From 8 years, and then we have the analysis of our products and we haven't residual of chemical products in our wines. So this is our object: sustainable winery and natural wines.
Perfect. Okay, I just want to say thanks very much to my guest today, Valentino Valentini. You do sound like a 1950s actor though with that name. Thank you, Valentino Valentini from the Boccali Winery in the town of Montefalco, Umbria, in the area of the Sacrentino di Montefalco. Been a great interviewee. I'm a man of many talents, with your solar power and your natural winemaking and your former career as a mayor and your trips to the Midwest where you have to eat lots of grilled meat. Very nice to see you, and I hope you and your winery with your brother managed to rebuy some of that land that your grandfather had, and you can piece together back a little bit of history, a bit of family history.
Thank you so much.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.